This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Joined by Jed Drenning from West Virginia Football, sideline reporter for their radio broadcast. Jed, hello, welcome.
I'm used to country roads as my walk-up music. You threw me off with that, guys.
Yeah, we should have done that. We should have done that for sure. How you been? How you doing? Everything going well?
Good summer. Great weather as of late. Got a little bit of rain, but we needed it. But the Mountain State's doing well. How about you guys?
We are good, Jed. Before we get into West Virginia football, we were talking in the first segment about Jed and a Mountaineer, and it got me thinking about Beverly Hillbillies. Is that something that you identify with?
I've probably only heard that since I was 2 years old.
Fair enough.
That, you know, if I had a nickel for the 10 or 15,000 times I've heard that in my life, I'd have a lot of nickels. But, I'm very familiar with it.
It's hardly unique, I'm sure. So
let's get into West Virginia. My dad didn't care if he named me Jeremiah Eucalyptus as long as he could call me Jed. So it's James Edward, but I go by Jed.
Well, there you go. Let's get into West Virginia football. They have quite an opener coming up on August 31st, just 2 weeks from this Saturday against Penn State. What are we expecting? Is this a year that West Virginia can make some progress? They're very difficult to play at home in Morgantown, but in recent years haven't quite figured out how to win on the road.
I think we fully expect with an opener like this, anytime you play a blue blood that's in the top 10 playing their best football, you're going to have your hands full irrespective of the circumstances of the venue. Last year, we played them tough for 2.5 quarters in front of 110,000 strong in Happy Valley. But this year, the faithful will be on our side. So it's going to be a challenge. But I think in this new Big 12 in particular, there's such parity. It's imperative to win in the league, but you're at home in this league. But you're going to have to find a way to travel and steal a couple. And I think one of the reasons that until recently we struggled on the road, not so much last year, is because the things that travel well are good defense and a good running game. And it wasn't until recently that we shored those two areas of our football program up. So we're probably in better position now than we were after being raided by the transfer, trying to sort through how to handle that like so many other programs were. Once things have stabilized, we got our trust in order, and you at least have a chance with Neil Brown to give him the opportunity to catch his breath and put a plan together in this college football 2.0 that we now live in. I think we're in a much better place with much better footing. So we can run the ball, and we can play much better defense. And I think that's why we can be a better road team than we were in the past.
And coming off a 9-4 season, Jeff.
Yeah, I apologize for being so general, but where does West Virginia kind of fit in this new-look Big 12? I would say maybe not a lot of people realize that they won 9 games last year and return a lot of offensive production from that team. Like you said, they've really kind of shored up their defense. So where does West Virginia fit in, and how much will we learn not only from their non-conference opener, but the game against KU as the conference opener in Morgantown?
I think that's what we're trying to sort through with so many of these teams in this new Big 12. You've got to, you know, tip your cap to some of the teams just based on what they've recently done that I would consider at the very top. Utah, after winning a couple Pac-12s, they've made quite a reputation for themselves. K-State with the recent success that they've had. Oklahoma State with the recent success that they've had. And these are all football teams that return a ton of talent. But, you know, then you have this long succession of teams that really, whoever stays healthy and whoever plays the most consistent brand of football is going to persevere. I could make a fairly compelling case, as could you guys, that I'd say as many as 10 teams have a chance to be in Dallas at the end of the year if they stay healthy and if they prove more consistent than the rest of the league. So I think those are the two critical pieces. Who can stay healthy and who can lay the fewest duds? It's difficult to get 18 to 23-year-old kids to show up week in, week out and be consistent. Whoever finds that magic formula, I think it's going to have an opportunity to be played very meaningful football, not just late November, but even in early December in the Big 12 championship game. And I think West Virginia is one of those teams. You talked about it. We return almost intact up, you know, offensively. We lost maybe the best center in the history of the program in Zach Frazier. We lost what we consider to be an NFL right tackle in Doug Nesser. But we had seven different offensive linemen start for us last year. Five of those seven are back. And most of our skill guys are back, and we've complemented that through the portal. Both of our quarterbacks return. And on the defensive side, we're very happy with what we've done to address some of the needs that we had through the portal. So I think we're going to have a puncher's chance if we stay healthy and we stay consistent.
Talking about West Virginia football with Jed Drenning, their sideline radio analyst, and we're happy to have him. So tell us about this quarterback, because I think it's just kind of strange, Jed. We sit here in Kansas and we hear all this talk about KU, K-State, and other teams, Utah, Arizona, Oklahoma State, but nobody says a whole lot about what West Virginia could do here. Garrett Green's one of the best quarterbacks in this conference, maybe in the whole country. It seems to me like West Virginia is not getting maybe enough love in the preseason. Am I wrong about that?
You're probably on point with it. And to be honest with you, I'm just fine with it. I mean, our popular refrain last season was we were picked 14th in a 14-team Big 12. And I don't know if you could be around this football team and have 3 minutes pass for 3 months without hearing the number 14 shouted and chanted. And it became an incantation of ours through the entire season. So we're picked in the middle of the pack. So we're climbing. But at the end of the day, I mean, again, you can make a case for those teams that are picked ahead of us. I mean, there's a lot of good football team in this league. There's a ton of depth. So until you go out and prove it, yeah, we won 9 games, but half a dozen teams in this league last year won 9 games, right? So there's a lot to be said for the depth of the league, and nobody ever won any football games from preseason hype. But there have been a lot of teams, in my experience, that have a bit of a chip on their shoulder due to the lack of preseason hype, so I'd prefer it to be that way. I mean, I think we're well-positioned, including Garrett. This is a quarterback-rich league. And there's a lot of talent at the top, as you guys just talked about. And so I kind of like where he's positioned. It puts a bit, maybe more of a chip on his shoulder, and he already had one. But he's a bit of a junkyard dog. The locker room, the kids pick up what he puts down. I think the things that he did well last year, you have to start with the fact that before winning football games, you have to avoid losing them. And from a ball security standpoint, he made a massive leap from the 22 season into the 23 season. There's a metric they call on PFF turnover-worthy plays, and he ranked among the Big 12 leaders after being dead last in the Big 12 in that category the year before. And he's hard to sack. That was a function of the offensive line. We have a solid group of tight ends, our backs and pass protection, but also the elusiveness of Garrett Green. So those two things together, not turning the ball over and not getting knocked backwards so you're able to stay on schedule and stay ahead of the sticks, that's what I hope we can continue to do where we left off last year before we get into making more splash plays and being more dynamic and being on the highlight reels. Before those things happen, first, let's do those two very critical things that not as many people are talking about.
Notwithstanding that tough opener against Penn State, does this feel like a team that can hit the ground running, maybe more so than last year? Because, like you said, they found a little bit of an identity running the ball and playing really good defense. And those, you know, units, the running game looks strong. The defense looks strong again. So, you know, what was kind of the process to finding that identity for West Virginia? And how does it kind of carry over to this year?
I think over the course of the last year and a half, we kind of did a rebrand or reinvented who we were the previous offseason. And as you inserted Garrett Green and he became more comfortable down the stretch in 22, you saw what a new offense we were going to become because of his skill set. It was so fundamentally different from JT Daniels or Jarrett Daigie or any of the predecessors that Coach Brown had here because of his dual skill set. And I think that what happened over the course of the 22 into 23 offseason was offensive coordinator Chad Scott, Matt Moore, our O-line coach, both have been with Neil Brown forever. They kind of got together and brainstormed what would best fit our personnel with this dual-threat kid at the point of attack. And that's what you ended up seeing, a team that ran the football 57% of the time. We do throw it. We throw it off play action and take shot plays. I mean, there was a lot of parallels to what we were doing offensively and what you guys were doing offensively with Andy Kotelnicki last year. I thought there were a lot of parallels. By you guys, I say Kansas. But so, run the football and run it effectively. That makes you effective both at home and on the road. And then off of that, force the defense to respect you, put them in a downhill posture, and take your shots with the play-action game. And that's what we became, and that caters to Garrett Green's skill set. Now, we have to start the season faster against Penn State, and we've catered our camp toward being more physical right out of the gates. We played Penn State well for a half, or like I said, 2.5 quarters, but it wasn't enough to sustain that for the balance of 60 minutes running into a physical brand like that. So we're having a lot more contact in this camp than we did a year ago. And I think that Neil recognizes we have to hit the ground running against Penn State. And then right out of it, we go into the backyard brawl after the Albany game. But when you look at the first string of Big 12 games we play, a lot of these interviews that I do and on the circuit in the Big 12 in Texas and Oklahoma, one of the first things they ask me is, man, who did you guys make mad in the league office to get that Big 12 schedule you have? And there's some merit to that. I mean, we have a run to start the Big 12 schedule. That's tough. There's no empty chairs. There's no layups. So we're going to have to come out of the chutes pretty fast.
Yeah, and you're referring to the home game against Kansas on the 21st of September, an off week. Then a game at Oklahoma State, at home against Iowa State, at home against Kansas State, and at on the road in Tucson against the University of Arizona. Of course, four of those five teams are ranked in the AP preseason poll. Good stuff. Hey,
that's
Jed,
correct.
We really appreciate you coming on to talk about West Virginia football. We're eager. That opening game at home against Penn State in Morgantown, certainly one of the highlight games of the opening weekend in college football. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it. We're going to do what we can to carry the flag, not just for the Flying WV, but in that particular week, maybe for the league, right?
There you go. We appreciate your time, Jed.
Thanks so much.